Blog Talk Radio.
With us into the world of the paranormal. And with that being said, I welcome my good friend Chris Malasaw.
Sorry for the technical difficulties, everybody.
we had trouble
with the switchboard, and for some reason the computers and software is not running right tonight. So we had to switch songs, and there was a pause there, something didn't play, and then it said webpage not responding, and everything just fell to crap. So, but we're back. We're on air. Everything's good. Ready to move on.
Do you think this has anything to do with our investigation this past weekend?
No, I think it has something to do with my education over a lifetime.
That makes two of us, my friend. That makes two of us.
Should have paid more attention in computer class. I used to always look out the keys. And my teacher, we used to follow around with a ruler. And I tell you what, man, by the end of class, my hands would be red. And she used to try to put the paper over it, like, to where I couldn't see, so I could learn how to type without looking at the keyboard. and I'd still be lifting up the paper trying to do it.
Yeah, I bet she just stood over you the whole entire class, didn't she?
She said, "This is a metaphor for the rest of your life. Do you understand that you're going to be cutting corners the rest of your life?" I said, "Yes, ma'am."
Don't
I'm
we
okay
all?
With that. Are you?
Don't we all?
Well,
okay,
yeah, man,
folks,
that investigation was crazy, right?
Yes, it was. We done an abandoned building this past weekend, and when we got there, they had pentagrams. Apparently, children go in there and do seances and stuff. And we used a REM pod, which is the second time I've only used a REM pod. I have to say, guys, for any of you out there as paranormal investigators and thinking about purchasing a REM pod, that will be one of the best pieces of equipment I think you can invest your money in. This thing was responding to everything that we said. We actually have a video up about it. If y'all want to check it out, you can go to our Facebook page, minus Ghost Quest, one word, Para, P-A-R-A, and it'll be posted. It's called House of Horror, and it's also on Paranormal Society of New Orleans wall. Is that right?
That's it. It's on our wall. It's on Crystal Longstone's wall, which is me. It's a public page. Anybody can see anything on there. So, yeah, man, I've had the REM pod for a while now, and I've used it on several investigations. And sometimes I've gotten some great results out of it. Sometimes nothing, you know. Sometimes I've been – remember when we did the basement and had all that crazy paranormal activity things thrown at me? You saw an apparition, crazy spare box session. That REM pod did not go off not one time. You remember that?
No. Yeah, I remember that. And our previous investigation that we done, the Acadian Station, which was a former 911 call center, yeah, we got a lot of activity with the REM pod that night.
Yeah, it seemed balanced. Like we got the when we did the lullaby, Mary had a little, and then the child spirit finished it for us and said lamb, which is so cool. And
yeah, I mean,
it seemed balanced, you know. But here at this abandoned building, I want to call it was nothing but REM pod. A little bit of K2, but it really didn't want to communicate too well through the K2. It seemed like you fell in love with my REM pod. Didn't want anything to do with the spirit box. You know, if you watch that video, you're going to hear us ask some really intense questions. You're going to find a kind of serious/funny kind of scene in there where I'm asking questions, and then Jeremy interrupts me and says, "Look, y'all, just don't ask anything too personal. You can ask stuff like that, just don't get too personal." And then you hear me.
Yeah, and then the next word out of his mouth is, "Are you a demon?" And I'm like, "Really, Chris? Really?" I mean, come on now.
You said like that.
Yeah, you can just see my face whenever he says it. I'm like, "Really, dude?" I just wanted to reach over there and just smack him in the back of the head. But
cardinal rule. If you're listening out there, you're not supposed to communicate with demons. Only idiots and idiots do stuff like that. So, you know, just a big no-no.
Yeah, that would be all him. That would be all him. I'd have to say I was the smarter one that night.
You
that doesn't
that's
happen
a rare,
too often,
rare
but that
thing,
night I was
you know?
The smarter one. And we also
I gotta give you one
guest with us.
You know that, right?
Yeah. But we also had a special guest with us that night. We had Paul Nana, which is the lead singer of Murder Case, which is they just signed a major label. They're upcoming heavy metal fans, so if there's any metalheads out there, look. I suggest you check out their CD. I mean, it's awesome. I'm hooked on it. It's in my CD player, my truck 24/7 now. My co-founder and girlfriend, Tammy, she gets so mad because whenever she gets in the truck and I crank it up and it's just blaring and she's like, "Man, really? Come on, I can't listen to that stuff." I'm like, "Tough." Yeah, I just crank it up again and keep on going. But,
it was a great band. I really like them, you know. I'm not too much into the heavy stuff. You know, I guess I'm more of the alternative kind of heavy rock kind of thing. But then they got some great songs. They got some songs I really enjoy.
Yeah. And speaking of Paul Nana and Murder Case, next weekend, guys, Thursday night, make sure you tune into our show. It's going to be a show you don't want to miss. We're going to be doing our first live broadcast from Horror Fest 2013 in Hammond, Louisiana, which is where they're going to debut Murder Case's single. It's called Revealed, and they're actually going to have the video for the first time there at Horror Fest. So y'all not gonna want to miss it. We're gonna try to interview some of the members of the band along with some other people. So y'all gonna definitely want to tune into that. And tonight, people, tonight we are gonna be finding out everything there is to know about the legend of Bigfoot, Sasquatch, Swamp Skunk, Ape, whatever you want to call it. I'm excited.
Well, now when I made the first announcement, Brian corrected me and said it's Sasquatch. That's the proper term. His nickname is Bigfoot, so we had to get that straight right off the bat. You know?
Okay, Sasquatch. But what about the swamp ape, man? Down here, I know, down here in Honey Island Swamp, it's called the swamp ape, skunk ape.
Do you think maybe they're all the same species, just spread out through different regions and different cultures? Different people have different names in them.
Yeah, because if you go to, like, China and stuff, it's called the abominable snowman. So, yeah, I think it's all the same species, just people have different names for it. But I'm interested to hear about what Brian's got to say, because I've always been interested in Bigfoot. I'm interested in Bigfoot, UFOs, aliens. Another thing I'd like to do in a speech broadcast is talk about, you know, the alien agenda, which would be the Greys. I've been stuck on that here for the past couple of weeks, trying to learn everything I can about that. And I find it very interesting. I mean, Chris, what do you think about life elsewhere in the universe? Do you think it's possible, or do you just think it's a myth?
Well, now, here's my opinion on the matter, okay? I believe there is life out there. Now, scientists have said that they've looked so far beyond our solar system and, you know, in our universe, and they were expecting planets just like us, but Earth is the oddball out. Earth is the rarest thing that is in the solar system in the universe. So they were hoping to find just any kind of life out there, but it's not. It's all just energy and matter. So do I believe in another universe, another solar system, far, far away? Yes, there's got to be another oddball like us, another very unique, perfectly placed planet that can produce life. Now, the question is, do I believe they have the intelligence or the power to, or technology to travel here? And no, that's where my line is drawn in the sand. Now, people will talk about wormholes and everything like that, but, you know, that's all just theories. And, you know, my theory is my opinion, you know. But just think, 50 years ago, a black hole was considered a myth. Scientists said, you know, it didn't exist. And now today, it's proven fact that there are black holes. In fact, there are places where there are two black holes next to each other, and they can actually combine to make one huge black hole. So where does that black hole take things? I don't know, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't, you know, nothing will survive. So that's not my expertise, you know, but I'm always willing to learn. That's why I'm really glad to get people like Brian on here, you know, people to get people out there who are experts in or enthusiasts on UFOs and aliens and everything, and just see what they have to say. You know, this is, you know, Project Paranormal. So this is our project to figure out the paranormal. So we'll see where that goes.
Right. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Now, I have done some research on the whole UFO and alien theories. And one of the theories out there, since we're talking about the Bigfoot, is some of the theories out there is that Bigfoot is actually an alien species. Now, do I believe that? No. I mean, you can't believe everything you hear on YouTube. But, look, my opinion is this. The stars never end, okay? There's hundreds of thousands, millions, even solar systems out there. You're not going to tell me that we are the only planet that has intelligent life. And we are a relative primitive species, okay? Our technology-wise has only what existed really for the past 100 years or so. So to me, there's other civilizations out there that, you know, 100,000 years more advanced than we are. And everyday scientists are figuring out compulsion, you know, different things like that, and how to use different energy matter and stuff like that. So, you know, my theory on that is I have to believe that it does exist. But, you know, that's for the experts. That's, like you said, this is Project Paranormal. That's why we get the experts on, because, you know, ghost hunting is our specialty. So there's other people out there that can tell us a lot more on the subject than we can.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot I don't know about, you know, we're just waiting for Brian to call in. We did have him there for a second, but we lost him, so he should be back in just a minute. But, yeah, you know, the abominable snowman, you know, he's all white, you know, that could be, it could be a sign of, like, evolution with, or, you know, evolution with how the Sasquatch is. If it's in the Himalayas, it's going to blend into his environment. It's going to evolve to that. So, yeah, it's definitely an interesting topic. You know, I've talked to a lot of people, and I've talked to Brian Sons about this a few times, and, you know, I'm stuck on the whole, is it real, you know? And of course, we have the myth here in New Orleans with the Rukuru, but that's completely myth. I mean, you can't tell me that there's a werewolf around here, and if you come in contact with him, you'll change into him, and you can stop him in his tracks by throwing exactly 13 pieces of silver or, you know, down on the ground. You can't tell me that stuff. I mean, because there's somewhere, like, all right, we believe in a lot of supernatural things, right? Spirits and even demonics and all of that. But there's got to be some point where we have to draw the line in the sand to say, okay, my bullcrap meter is just spiked to red. You know, this is ridiculous, you know.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, and too, what's funny is, throughout the United States, you know, different states all have different legends. You had the Chickacabra, which is New Mexico or Mexico. You have the Wolfman, which is in the Midwest over there. You have the UFO phenomena, which happens in Nevada, up in that area, New Mexico. And then you also have what they call it. It's like a giant bat. I can't even think of what the name is right now. The Mothman. That was it, the Mothman. So, but you know, Chris, the thing that gets me is all of these stories, all these wise tales, so to speak, they all originate from something. I think that they all originate from some truth to a certain extent. I mean, it's just kind of like one of those stories that get passed on from your great-great-grandfather to your great-grandfather to your father. And mm-hmm. the stories change a little bit with each generation. So, you know, I would say that there's just that tad bit of, you know, truth to the stories. But you have to also understand, back in the early days, people didn't understand the world like we know it now. So, and in that time, mythical creatures and stuff and things that they couldn't understand, animals or species that they couldn't identify with, you know, they seen these things and they didn't really know what they were. Now, proven fact is, from zoology is, cryptozoology is that we are finding new species every day.
Yep.
I just know a couple of years ago there was a fish that they thought was extinct for thousands of years. It surfaced, just like the giant squid, for an example. Everybody thought that was a myth. Well, now it's getting to be pretty common to where giant squid would wash up on the banks, you know, and that's a tale that the sailors and stuff told back from the old days. So, you know, that's why I say that these legends have to come from somewhere, and they do have some truth bearing to the whole situation.
Well, you know, that's great. You know, one of the things we're going to talk about tonight is the Sasquatch, and I have Brian Sons with us right here, a Sasquatch enthusiast, who's going to bring some facts to the tables. So, Brian, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How you doing tonight?
How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys doing?
We're making it. We're making it. We're kind
of
recovering from
some difficulties
tonight.
Well, I guess let me start off by saying there's no such thing as an expert when it comes to Sasquatch, mainly because we haven't, you know, locked one down scientifically and studied it.
Well, let me ask you a question, Brian. I know this was about 7 to 8 years ago. They had a group of Bigfoot hunters that claimed they had actually recovered a body of a Sasquatch. And I can remember it was on CNN News. It was everywhere because I actually remember sitting in a restaurant watching it. And then I seen a word they say is Bigfoot grill, and it just immediately caught my attention. Now, these guys claim that they captured this creature and they had it in an ice chest or a deep freezer in their house. We're coming to find out it was fake. And if I'm not mistaken, didn't these guys pull a stunt like that before?
Well, what you're thinking of is Tom Biscardi. He is the guy who he's kind of like the Barnum Baileys in the Bigfoot field. And he has a tendency, and I don't know if he legitimately went out to fake this or if he's just a sucker that jumps on anything that comes along regarding Bigfoot. And
right.
These two guys out of Georgia, one's name was Matt. I can't think of the other one's name. But they had the brilliant idea to get I say brilliant jokingly, to get a Bigfoot costume and a Sasquatch mask and freeze it in an ice chest. They put some false teeth up in the mouth and I think it was a cow's tongue to make it look, I guess, believable just in the photo.
Right.
But there was a lot of us who, first of all, recognized it as being a mask, and second of all, realized that it looked nothing like what a Sasquatch looks like. And,
right.
You know, they went this far, and Biscardi, he's so desperate to prove the existence of Sasquatch that he jumped on it, and he went full steam to the news with it, and as you know, it turned out it was all a hoax. Again, whether he was in on it or not, who's to say, you know? But that's the
right.
problem when it comes to Sasquatch, and there being so many hoaxes, and the problem always goes back to money, the monetary value of someone finding and proving the existence of a Sasquatch.
Yeah, I would imagine that would be a pretty big payday right there.
Right. I mean, it would be a historical find.
Right.
However, you know, I have. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I have my opinions, and I've been told, I've spoken with a lot of people with the Bigfoot Fields Research Organization, and based on things that were told to me, I believe that the government is fully aware that these things are out there and that they exist.
So
yeah,
why
I can buy
is it
into
that,
that
after all these years, all, you know, the stories go back hundreds of years, how come we haven't proven the existence of Sasquatch? Why isn't that somebody has said, look, here he is, you know, a hunter hasn't killed one, we haven't found any bones or dead bodies of Sasquatch, why is that? Because that's what the skeptic is going to ask, and that's what pretty much we're all wondering, is why haven't we found remains, why haven't we, somebody killed one, why haven't we seen an actual body?
That's where I'm going to have to correct it. We have.
There has been, yes.
In fact, I was just reading yesterday or today about bones that were found. The issue is they found the bones and there's parts of bones. And it's very recent right now going on where they found bones and they're going to try to prove it. In 2011, Dr. Melba Ketchum actually had a flesh sample from a Sasquatch that was shot by Justin Smeha. He shot the Sasquatch, and apparently it was a mother because there was two young juveniles with it. The mother's Sasquatch, female Sasquatch, stumbled off, and so he shot the baby. And he felt really, really genuinely bad about it once he got up to it and saw how human-like it was in appearance. And
right.
So he buried it. He buried it, and a whole month went by, and some researchers out of Washington convinced him to go out there and try to locate this body. And, you know, their argument was, hey, you know, you've got the greatest find in this century, and you're just letting it sit out in the woods and rot. So he went back out there. The body was completely gone, aside from a small patch of skin with fatty tissue and hair on it. So he collected that. He sent it to the lab, and Dr. Melba Ketchum, she has run DNA analysis on it, and she's found that the paternal is of an unknown primate, an unknown species, but the maternal is human. So their theory is that somewhere in history that one of these primates interbred with a human female.
Really?
Which
I've heard stories of that.
I have a different theory altogether on that, and it goes back to something I overheard while I was on hold about the aliens. I don't think that Sasquatch is an alien. I think it's just the opposite. I think we are the alien species on this planet. I think Sasquatch is the original inhabitants of this planet, and we were somehow genetically derived from them. I know that's going to raise a big stink with the whole religion, the religion aspect, but human history proves it. And, I mean, humankind took a major leap forward that evolution can't explain.
Right.
And you think that was maybe the mating between the Sasquatch and the human being?
Well, that's the thing. I don't believe there was a mating. I believe the Sasquatch was the original inhabitants of this planet, and it already had some human DNA, and that human side of that DNA was extracted, who knows, maybe mixed with something else, and there we are.
Well, if you go back to the show,
it's kind of like the story of it's kind of like the analogy, which came first, chicken or the egg? So really, it's like, which came first, the Sasquatch or did we come from a Sasquatch, or did Sasquatch come from us? And, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that we humans are the cancer of this planet. You know, there's really no scientific explanation for why we are on this planet.
Right. Well, if you go back to the show that used to come on the History Channel called Ancient Aliens, one of the theories where how we arrived on this planet was that the ancient aliens came here and they took our DNA from Neanderthals. Neanderthals could have been a species of Bigfoot, you know.
What if we're wrong? What if all these statues that we have in these museums of Neanderthal man, what if our depiction is wrong? What if Neanderthal man was really covered with hair? If we're only finding bones, we're only assuming that they were hairless. We're only assuming that based on what we know about our human race. And scientists are so annoying in that aspect. If it doesn't fit into their ideology of how things should be, then they're going to leave it out. They already have a preconception of what they want. And, like, for example, the Neanderthal man that you see in the museums, if we're only finding bone, we have no idea whether that animal was covered with hair or whether it was hairless.
Mm-hmm.
So, as far as we know, that's a
big controversy right there, like, with the, you know, evolving. So, you know, we evolved from monkeys, and then we formed into Neanderthals.
If that was the case, we'd still see monkeys in the zoo right now, and somewhere in the mid stages of becoming a human, they would still be evolving today. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, and they're not.
To go from monkey to human, we would still see apes and monkeys in between that stage somewhere in the zoo. Right, exactly. I don't put too much faith in the whole evolution thing. There was whether it's religious, whether it's God or whether it's extraterrestrial, there was some outside hand involved in our development.
Probably goes back to the movie that was made of Alien, and then now Prometheus. You know, that was the whole thing about the aliens who came to Earth and created us, and then they were coming back millions of years later to destroy it. So, it makes sense. I mean, I hate to say this, and a lot of people are going to be upset, but it makes more sense than religion. You know, I mean, because actually there's actual factual evidence of this. So,
I have my beliefs on religion, but and that's a whole other show. But, you know, it's
you
funny.
Keep the topic.
Right. It's funny that you mentioned the show Ancient Aliens and the aliens coming down. The oldest written text that we know of is out of Sumeria, and it speaks of a race of star beings called the Anunnaki.
Yeah, the Anunnaki, you're right. Yeah.
They came down and they needed gold, but they didn't want to mine the gold themselves, so
they
needed
a slavery.
A labor force, correct.
Right.
Now, the question is whether we were that labor force or whether the Sasquatch was that labor force in this aspect.
Right. Well, apparently the Sasquatch is a very intelligent being.
Of course. And see, that's one thing that annoys me so much about some of these shows that I watch and some of these, quote, scientists. They seem to categorize Sasquatch with other animals. Sasquatch is not an animal. It's not an animal. It's a being. Just the same as you. Just the same as me. It doesn't fit into the category of animal. And you know,
and that makes sense. And that's what they discovered in the DNA when they found the bones.
Right. Well, from the flesh, they're still. In fact, like I said, it was just these last couple of days they found the bones, and so I'm sure word of that will come out. Dr. Jeff Meldrum, he's out of Idaho State University. He's a big Sasquatch believer, big Sasquatch enthusiast, and I'm sure you might have seen him on shows like Monster Quest or. A few of the other Sasquatch programs that have been on the History Discovery, those channels. And he's really involved. I follow him. He's really involved with anything that goes on with Sasquatch. He's like the go-to guy.
Well, Brian,
but, you know,
tell us how you got involved in all of this. And I mean, do you go out in the woods and track Bigfoot, or you just an enthusiast? You know, like through information that comes out, or are you an actual tracker?
Oh no, I actually go out.
Well, how did you get involved in all of that?
Well, when I was little, I grew up in South Louisiana, Morgan City, and I was raised by my grandparents, so I'd always heard the stories of, you know, the Rougarou and the swamp monster, and it always fascinated me, and then, you know, the $6 million man with Bigfoot on it, and the Legend of Boggy Creek, saw that in the movie theater, so it always interested me, but it wasn't until I actually moved to Florida. And I lived in the Panhandle on some on Air Force reservation property. That was the first time I'd actually seen one, and it freaked me out at first. And from that time, there was other incidents in the woods with me and my brothers that we didn't exactly see, but we heard, and we'd been chased. And then here where I'm at in Mississippi, there was a couple of incidents. I saw one. Down, walk across a cornfield down around Jackson, Mississippi, and here where I live now, there's been numerous incidents. We haven't, well, I don't know if I've seen something cross the road just last week. Me and my two girls were walking, and an actual log was thrown at us.
Wow.
And we kept walking, and we could hear something trailing us in the woods, and we stopped. There was like a little water fountain, and we stopped to get the dog some water, and another log was thrown. And when I looked at where the direction where the, you know, the log landed, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw movement. Just as I glanced back, something large and the color of a pine needle, like a dead pine needle, just jumped across the road. Only landed in the middle, and then it was already on the other side. And this was just a week ago. In fact, I told Chris about it almost immediately after it happened.
Yeah. So what are some of the signs to look for when people are out looking for Sasquatch?
Well, I mean, the main thing is to just be observant. You know, use your senses as far as your eyes, your ears, even your sense of smell, because they put off a very pungent odor, which is very similar to an old septic tank, a hog pen, a wet horse, real foul odor. And, you know, I believe, in my opinion, that's just their way of, that they found their own natural insect repellent, because if I was out in the woods, I definitely want something for the mosquitoes, you know. But, you know, you want to look for any kind of branches that have broken off high up, above your head, at head level or above. You want to look for game trails. You know, you just want to use what is around you and think as if you were one of them. You know, where would you be? You'd have to have water. You'd have to have a good source of food. You'd have to have an area, which, fortunately for me, I live on a wildlife, very close to a wildlife reserve. So you're going to want an area where there's very limited to no hunting. And then you have to have your cover. It's hard to explain when you go out there. You just have to be observant and look for anything that you think is out of the normal, and listen more than anything. And then there's also the baiting. You know, there's different ways to bait a Sasquatch, according to, you know, the studies and the people with the BFRO that I've spoken to. There's also the calls that you can do to call them in. And I've done this, and I've heard, my kids have heard, my whole family has pretty much experienced things in the woods that just aren't right.
How do you know it's not a bear? Or what was the difference between, okay, there's a bear near me, or there's a Sasquatch near me?
Well, there's no bears in my area. So, but I understand your point. You're trying the point that you're trying to make. How do you know exactly what it is? And the truth is, you really don't. A lot of it is in fact speculation, unless you have a visual. Now, if you hear something, you know, and I've heard this too. If you hear wood knocking, you know, in the woods in the middle of the night, then chances are, you know, it's going to be a Sasquatch. Nothing else has thumbs that can, you know, actually pick up a branch, or you know, if you get something thrown at you, nothing. There's no other creature other than a human that can do that.
Are the rocks being thrown? I hear that all the time about rocks being thrown. Like, why would they throw rocks at you? What's the deal with that?
Well, that's interesting. There's two theories that I have. One is to drive you off, to intimidate, to scare. Another is, like in this case that happened to me just last week, a distraction. You look the direction of the rock, they can leave and go the other direction, because you're busy focusing on where the rock landed.
Well, let me ask you this. Let's talk about the Patterson film for a second. That film has been, you know, examined through and through and through and through. Do you believe that that is an actual female Sasquatch that was captured on film?
I'm sorry?
I mean, I was just saying, I have watched, you know, documentaries on that film numerous and numerous times. And just the way, like, the scientists even come out and say the movement that the Sasquatch makes cannot be replicated by a human being.
Well, here's the thing that most people don't realize about that film. There's not just one Sasquatch in it. There's three.
Wow, really?
Yes, if you can find the original Patterson-Gimlin film, not the clip that we all know of her walking and turning, the original full length, when they first come up on the Sasquatch, there's an infant there also. The female gets up to lead Patterson and Gimlin, to lead them away from the infant. She wants them to follow her. Now, there's a black and white clip, and I'll try to post it for you if I can find it. I know I can find it. But in the black and white clip, the minute she turns her head, you see another Sasquatch behind her in the foliage lean out and look towards, you know, towards the camera.
Wow.
So
Why don't the scientists, you know, why are they only focus on her? Because it seems to me that if that is true, the infant was actually caught on tape. Well, then that kind of says, okay, well,
this has to be one hell of an elaborate hoax, you know. I mean, why is it that the media only focuses on the female Sasquatch instead of the other three?
A few have focused on the other ones. However, and this is all speculation. I imagine for the most part, the female is in full frame, is right there. That's, you know, there's, it's easy to say, hey, look at this, rather as, hey, look, what is this? And someone can always say, well, I don't know if that's a Sasquatch or not. You know, it's the same thing with your paranormal. You know, you
right.
want to show what is definitively your argument.
Right.
But there are here recently in the last I know on Monster Quest they were talking about it, and a couple other shows, there are a few that are coming out and saying no, this was not the only Sasquatch, but because she is in full frame, and they even suggested that maybe she was trying to lead them over in that area so that the male could take care of them.
Right. Well, do you think that the Sasquatches are aggressive and can be dangerous?
Oh, I think they're no more aggressive than any other being that's in the forest. Right, exactly.
Right.
If they feel threatened, if you go too close to their youth or their territory, I'm sure they would be. For the most part, the Sasquatch are known to frighten people away. They don't want nothing to do with you. You know, you might get a passing glance, but for the most part, once they realize that you're a human, they're going to go the other direction. If you keep progressing, they're going to make noises, do whatever they can to scare you out of those woods.
Right.
Well, how rare is the Sasquatch? Like, do you have a theory on the population of how many are actually out there? And to spin off of that, like, you know, you have the abominable snowman or the Yeti up in the Himalayas, and they're white, you know, and what is the difference between that one and, let's say, the one that's down here in America?
Well, I think just like human hair, Sasquatch come in a very large variety. I've heard of blondes, I've heard of the cinnamon color, the dead pine needle color, like I've seen. I've heard of black. I've heard of white. I think it all depends on the age and the area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like your deer, for example. You know, I've seen black deer, I've seen cinnamon deer, I've seen, you know, it depends on the age, the area, and you got to remember camouflaging. I believe these creatures have been around for a long time, thousands of years, and you ask about the numbers. Jane Goodall, who was depicted in Gorillas in the Mist, the primatologist, she believes that they're real. She also believes that they're, and a couple other scientists here recently, I've watched some shows, believe that there are thousands of them, thousands, in the United States. I mean, it's so hard
to grasp that, because there's not that many. I mean, there's a lot of sightings, yes, but, I mean, just let's face it, we've only, from what you said, that there's only been one shot and killed and found the bones, and that's it. Where did the rest of the bodies go when they die? I mean, nobody stumbles upon this in the middle of the woods? I mean, I'm just trying to...
Well, I have a question for you. How many bear carcasses have been found in the woods that were not shot by humans?
You're right. I mean, you got scavengers and everything else. When a body dies, I mean, they pick it apart and they scatter it from here to Timbuktu.
That's exactly right. There was
a
project done not too long ago where they took a dead deer and they set it in the woods and they put cameras on it to see how long it would take for it to decay. It was completely gone in a week and a half.
Right, yeah, I've seen that video. I mean, let's think about it. Whenever, I mean, I grew up hunting, you know, and when we walked in the woods, you never seen bones anywhere. And if you did, it was very rare, you know. And these creatures that I believe I mean, there are thousands upon millions of acres of land out there in the United States that human doesn't really have no contact with, and I think that these things are like deer. I mean, they know where we go and where they don't go. They know where their safe haven is.
That's exactly right. There's a here where I live, and this has been going on since I've lived here for like last 6 years. But here where I live, there's been activity. And there's certain times of the year when activity really picks up, in the fall and in spring. That's when you get the most. And I believe what it is, I mean, I'm sure they know when man is out there hunting, you know. So in the fall, they're either headed to where their safe zone or coming back from, the same thing with spring. And I've actually had researchers from a Bigfoot field research organization here at my house, on my property, looking at all this evidence. They're out there. They're smart. They know exactly what they're doing.
You know how the gorilla is a vegetarian, right? Do you think that the Sasquatch eats meat or it eats vegetation?
I think it's an omnivore, just the same as us. There's been lots of reports of them killing deer. There's been people that have gone out into the woods and, you know, been watching a deer, and they look over into the tree line, and there's a Sasquatch right there.
Yeah, because if they always try to avoid us, and they are carnivores, then why wouldn't they try and attack us and eat us, you know?
Well, I mean, the same reason we wouldn't go to Africa and try to attack an African. You know, the similarity is just there. It's just, you know, going back to what you had mentioned about the bodies, if they're that close to us and that similar to us, maybe they carry their dead off, maybe they bury their dead. We just don't know.
You're right. Yeah. I mean, apparently they are very, very intelligent creatures. And there's even some people that say they even actually have their own languages. I mean, you talk about, you know, the hollering noises that they make at night. I mean, that itself is just a form of language communication. I mean, and I also heard that a lot of Sasquatches travel in families. I mean, you have a mother and a father and offspring. So, you know, like you say, protecting your young. I mean, whenever a human enters their territory, and let's just say that the male separated from the rest of his family, he's like any other animal or human. He's going to give out a distress call. You know,
there's a sentry.
Alert his family.
Well, first of all, they're mostly nocturnal. During the day, there's a sentry posted. Just basically someone that stays awake and keeps an eye on things. And anytime a human or gets close, they're up and they're gone.
Right. Well, I'm going to tell you a story, and I told my girlfriend, which is one of the I tell very few people. Me and one of my good friends that I went to high school with, we were actually down in Man Shack one night. Do you know where that's at?
No, I'm not sure. It sounds
familiar. It's right on the shore of Lake Pontchartrain, where the Tanspo River comes through, and then you go over the lake and you end up in New Orleans. Well, we used to go fishing.
Oh, I know what you're talking about now.
Right,
yeah, I do.
Right. We used to go fishing on the side of the road there all the time. Well, one night we're sitting there fishing, and my line got popped. And my buddy was sitting in a chair right on the side of the road, and the truck was right there in front of us. Well, I put the tailgate down, and I'm hooking up, you know, my line and everything. And we seen this black thing go across the highway, and it was walking upright. And it was kind of one of those things where I'm just standing there shocked, and I turn around and look at my buddy, and his eyes are big too. And the only conversation that was really said at that moment was, "Did you see that?" He's like, "Yeah." I said, "Do you think it was?" And he said, "Yeah." He didn't even let me get out of his mind. Well, we packed up and we left. Well, on the way home, it was kind of a quiet ride because, I mean, you hear about these things, but we're trying to, you know, make sense of that it was a bear, okay? But let me tell you something. This thing was walking upright, swinging its arms, you know, and we still, that is one of the subjects that we talked about a few times, but we don't tell too many people that story because, like, ghost hunting, they'll think you're crazy.
Well,
but I can
tell you
100%.
Everyone knows I'm crazy already, so it doesn't really just kind of.
But my point is that I'm trying to make is I can tell you 100% in my mind, I think I know what it was. And the Mayor Shack's small. I mean, it has legends that goes way back. And it's been told that there is Sasquatch out there.
Yeah,
I mean, you can go down to
there's a lot of wetlands and marsh around the area, too, which is ideal.
Right. And you could go down to Reno Seafood, which is right there by Mendorf's. And he's an old-timer. He was raised in Man Shack. He knows the swamp from top to bottom. And you go and ask him, say, Doc, do you think Sasquatch exists? They'll say, oh, hell yeah, I know it does. I've seen it. You know,
yep.
And you know, if you want to know anything about any kind of legends in the swamp or anything like that, that's the man you talk to.
Well, see, that's the thing. Once you've seen them, there's nothing anyone can tell you that'll convince you otherwise. You know, it's such an awe-inspiring, fascinating experience. And at first, you'll be scared, but once you get the chance to sit back and think about it and dwell on it, then for me, it's just awesome. You know, just knowing that there's more out there than what you know society is telling us.
Right. Yes. Yeah, I could definitely go along with that. And the only thing that didn't correlate with me was there was no smell, which this thing was probably a good 35 yards away. And, I mean, it's
right.
Trash shack stinks anyway. I mean, you got the swamp out there. It smells like rotten
yeah.
to start with. So it's kind of hard to distinguish that. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, I have to say this. I'm 6 foot tall, and it was bigger than me. I mean, I could tell you that much.
Sounds to me like yeah, Sasquatch. I mean, you know, like
yeah,
I said at the beginning, I'm not an expert on it. I've just studied on it. Oh, great. I sound like Carl from Slinging Blade. I studied on it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the best thing to do really is to put yourself, how would you survive if you were out in the woods? You know, what would
the
you
best
do?
Way
Unless
to survive
you start,
is disconnect yourself from society. I mean,
that's right.
Right.
And once you start putting yourself into that mindset, that's when you really start noticing different things. Like if you're trying to, quote, track Bigfoot, that's when you start noticing everything, when you put yourself in that mindset. Because let me tell you something. I could go right here, right now, a mile from my home, and disappear and never be found again if I chose to.
You're right, yeah. I mean, that's like the swamp down here. I mean, you can disappear just like that, and nobody will ever find you. So, yeah,
I
think that's a very valid point.
If you want to be hidden, if you don't want to be found, if you want to just, you know, you can do it easily. As long as you know, your area, you know what to eat, and where to go for shelter, you've got it made. Hey, you don't have bills. You don't have, you know what I'm saying? To me, Sasquatch got it right.
Yeah, they got it right. And they don't have to worry with the stuff we got to deal with.
Yeah,
so.
I mean they don't take any more from their environment than they need to. Whereas we as humans, like I said earlier, we're the cancer, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
We move into an area, we rape it. And then we move on to the next area, and then multiply and spread. Yeah, you know? And we're
man,
the only species on this planet that does that. We're the only species on this planet, which further validates in my mind that we're not original to this planet.
Well, there could be an argument there that because we're the most intelligent and we know what to take, and because we, in the Industrial Revolution, and because we continue to grow as a society and use things that make us, I'm going to use the word lazier, or more convenient, that we pretty much rape the world and take everything from it. You know.
Well, intelligence is also perspective, you know.
Right.
Like
right.
I said earlier, I think... To me, the Sasquatch are more intelligent than we are. Yeah,
right. I mean,
is
it that we're
destroying the world?
Is it that our intelligence are more superior, or are we just stuck on ourselves and believe that out of arrogance? So, that's a good, valid question.
Exactly right.
Are we really the more intelligent species?
Right.
Well, think about
that
it, the population
that arrogance,
grows, so does our advance in technology. Could be a
that's
population.
That's right. The more technologically advanced we get, the lazier we become.
You are exactly right. And, you know, who says that all this advanced technology is a good thing? Because, look, we are getting away from learning how to survive in this world and relying on our advanced technology. What happens when that goes out? Do you think these people in the cities, Chris, and everyone else is going to be able to survive? No, but guess what? Your Sasquatch will.
Hey,
well,
I'll tell you one place you're not gonna find Sasquatch in New Orleans. All right, you're not gonna find them sitting on the porch in a night war.
Well, you know, it's funny because there are tales of Sasquatch raiding dumpsters and they seem to frequent cemeteries for some reason. They've robbed people's hog pens. I mean, there's reports of Sasquatch leaning over a fence, picking up 200-pound hogs and just stepping over the fence and walking off with them.
Wow.
You know, these things are really huge. They're really strong. Of course, if you had to survive out in the wilderness, I mean, you would be pretty strong yourself. I mean, think back to the pioneer days when we didn't have automobiles and phones that could do everything but wipe our butt. You know, people actually had to walk miles just to get their groceries or ride a horse. You know, so people were they were built a lot differently back then. I mean, you think of your great grandfather or even your grandfather and how tough they were built compared to compared to now. We've just gotten lazy and it's all to do with technology. You know, we want everything handed to us and done for us.
Absolutely.
So many people don't want to get out, and that's another reason I believe why Sasquatch has remained so elusive. Because, how often do people actually get out in the woods anymore? Now, there was a lot of stories about Sasquatch back in the early settlement days because people actually had to walk these distances, walk through the woods. They were also trying to navigate the whole continent. You know, to settle. So they actually came in contact with these things. Theodore Roosevelt had a Sasquatch encounter and actually wrote about it.
Yeah. Well, Brian, we're almost towards the end of the show. And, you know, we were supposed to kind of stop a while back, but, you know, the show was going so great, you know, we couldn't just stop the conversation. But I understand, right. Do you have anything that you want to promote, anything that you're involved with, or anything you want to put out there somebody can go check out?
Well, I mean, if anyone wants to do any further research, they can always go to BFRO.net. That's the Bigfoot Field Research Organization, BFRO.net, and they can look for themselves. Just look online, study it, you know, get familiar with it if you're curious at all. All the information is out there. As far as myself, I sculpt action figures. My website is Onyx Phoenix Productions. Onyx like the gemstone, Phoenix like the firebird, and then Productions. And Google it, and you know, I'm on Facebook, and I also have my own online store where I actually sculpt, and I have in fact sculpted quite a few Sasquatch pieces. Bobo from Finding Bigfoot has one. Cliff from Finding Bigfoot, he has one as well.
Wow.
You know, check it out. You know, if you're interested, like I said, the information is out there, and it's not going to be too much longer, I believe, where there's full scientific, undeniable proof of the existence of these creatures.
Well, you know, everybody listening,
I look forward to the day.
You know. But we only have about 10 seconds left.
I'm sorry.
We only have about 10 seconds left. So, Brian, thank you for coming on. We appreciate it. And
thank you, guys.
Good night.
I appreciate it.